Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to do my All in April video this morning. I think it is day 20. I put down day 20. I hope it's day 20. I was talking to Chris last night after we got done wrapping up the whole relationships workshop. And I said, do you ever just wake up and you don't know what day it is? And he said, yeah, every now and then. I said, yeah, that's like me every day. Like this morning, I was like, what day is it? And I woke up and I was like, what are you doing today? Oh, yeah. Okay. Then that must mean it's Monday. So anyway, I think that is probably a lot of you who are not used to working from home. This is just a side effect of working from home. This has been not a new problem. This is not Corona induced. This is just literally when you're at home and you never go anywhere and stuff. And if you're like me and I pretty much work every day of the week. Every day just starts to seem very much the same. So anyway, I woke up this morning trying to figure out what day it was and all kinds of stuff. So I have made sure that my week is planned. Got all my stuff ready to go. I have my week planned in terms of work. Everything is time blocked. I actually have the way I like to do things is I pick out three things that I want to accomplish for the week. I don't pick out 5,000 things like a lot of you guys do and then wonder why you don't get anywhere. I pick out three main things that I want to make sure get done this week that are important. Like that I think, and you can do this for your personal life, you can do this for your business life, however you want to do it. And I wouldn't even, like for a lot of you, I now can pick three things for my like health life, and I can pick three things for my work life. But for a long time, I couldn't do that. Like my health thing had to be on my list every single week, and then there was usually two work things that were included. So just start where you are on that. But I have found a lot of benefit to, I call it the big three, and I've been doing it for a long time. And so I have my three things for work, and how I do that is I do something called focus time every day. Focus time, literally, guys, can be 15 minutes, 5 minutes. It can be an hour, whatever you need. Like I encourage my team to do this. For work-wise, I have them schedule some focus time. I do it every single day. I don't know that all of them do it every single day. They may not warrant needing focus time every day, but what I do is I do want them planning time very specific every single week that's really important work. So sometimes for them, it's the self-development stuff because they can't get to it. And I require everybody on my team, guess what they have to do? Every program that we have, and they do them over and over again because I'm like, we live and breathe by this stuff. And so everybody on the team is going to live and breathe by this stuff. So, I schedule focus time, and then I also schedule journaling time every day because I believe that journaling is the key to everything. So every single day I make a plan for my food. Sometimes, like if my head is, like if I notice I'm overeating at all, or if I notice that like I'm like really unmotivated when it comes to working out, because normally I have a love affair with working out. And then when I notice I have days and days and days where I feel like it's like a drudge to get there, I know that there's some mental cleanup that has to go on. Most days I'm usually doing my journaling and my thought downloads on just general life. But sometimes I do a lot of my stuff around my food, my body, and that kind of stuff. Like I'm constantly reevaluating my relationship with hunger. One of the things that I was going to tell you guys is that, like, for me, a big three when it comes to, like right now, one of the big three for me when it comes to my health is lifting weights. Like I have moved that to the big three. So it's like, you know, the thing that I'm going to accomplish this week is I am going to lift weights 5 times this week. The second one is running. I will run 3 times a week. The only way that I won't run 3 times a week is if my hip is hurting. Like if I actually have a physical pain, I won't run through it. I was actually talking to my friend Jane, and this is really important for all of you who do exercise. I am not such an athlete that if I am in any kind of like low level pain that I can keep my gait or my form correct. I pretty much start, you know, running like this. which can cause other injuries. So whenever I notice that I have any kind of pains, I pretty much put the brakes on the running and then let the whatever pain go away, and then I start back, and which is fine. So anyway, that one's a big one for me. And right now, I'm really working on my relationship around the plus two of the hunger scale. In maintenance, I typically eat to about a three or a four. I don't eat just to a plus two. But I have noticed that as I go along, sorry guys, I have got allergy eyes so bad. As I go along, sometimes my plus three or my plus four turns into a plus five. And so I'm writing about that. So I'm just trying to uncover, like, what are some of the old thoughts that might be coming back? You know, I've been at this for like 15 years. And I will tell you what I have notice and that I totally accept is that, like, sorry, my eyes are so itchy today. We have just, our pollen count has been crazy, and our tree count and stuff. One of the things that I notice is that whatever my old stories are, they tend to just come back. Like, after a while, after I've like focused on other things and stuff, they start coming back. So here recently, I think it's just with all this being at home and all the news and the COVID and stuff, my wasting food shit has come back. And it's like, I catch myself wanting to eat something like, well, don't want to waste it. Well, we don't want to throw that out. Well, we don't know if, you know, when we'll be like getting another delivery and stuff like that. So I caught myself in the last couple of weeks eating a little extra, like more than I just needed. I wasn't even going like crazy town, but I was like, I think this is coming up. Like, I think this is coming up. And so I just journal about it. I get really aware of it. And guess what? It does feel like ass again to stop doing it. Now, is it as hard as it was the first go around? No, but this is probably the, you know, 500th go around, and it's still not easy. Like, it's not, but it's not miserable. And so I talk to you guys a lot about the difference between true pain and suffering. True pain is when, like, you're actually upset about something and you like your reason for it. Suffering is when you're whining about it and you're compounding bullshit on top of it. So if I wanted to suffer over it, the conversation would go like this. I can't believe that I'm having to work on this again. I just wish that there was a day that I didn't have to do this. It just seems so unfair. It just seems so, like, it's that struggling with it. It's like, I just wish it would go away, or I shouldn't even be having these thoughts. You don't even have to be like throwing a total titty baby tantrum, but you can be just like having the subtle thoughts that just hose you. Having what I just call the pain of the situation is more like me noticing it and just being like, of course it's hard. You're going to have to sit there and you're going to need to throw away food. You're not going to like it when it happens. And you're only going to not like it because it goes against something you've been working on for a long time. That's being like allowing the hard, but not making it hard on yourself. And I think this is important for you guys. So, one of the things that I just encourage you guys to do is like, think about, like, when I think about my journaling and everything, I typically set some goals for myself, like the things that I want to overcome, the things I want to get good at, or the things that I'm noticing. So like my third big three this week is really focusing in on the plus two, three, and four end of the hunger scale. Understanding the thoughts that I'm having around my eating while I'm eating. Like, I'm really good at waiting for the hunger these days. That's not been my problem. It's the side of the coin of where I'm stopping and not overeating or decompressing and doing that kind of stuff. So I work on that stuff. And so I make that as one of my big three. So for one of my big three health things this week is really dialing in and focusing on my plus two side, understanding the conversation that I'm having, using my question of the day, like, how can I stop at a two today? How can I stop at a three today? How can I notice my hunger cues? My fullness cues. How can I notice, as many signals as possible in my body? Those are all good questions you can ask. You can also use the thought that you're working on believing. Like, one of my thoughts that I work on believing when it comes to the plus two on that end of the scale is, I am someone who's able to stop eating when she's had enough. I am someone who knows what true wasting food is. That's wasting it in your body. Like working, like always using when like a compelling reason. I want to be someone who has a normal relationship with food. I'm working on the version of me that's a, you know, healthy eater, including being full. So it's using the questions and it's using the things that we have in here. Figure out for you what it is, that one thing you need to be working on, and then put every tool that we have and aim it directly at the one thing. I think what I see a lot of you do is do like machine gun, where it's like, well, I need to work on the four basics, and I need to be listening to an OBS, and I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing this, and I need to be doing this. And it's like, you ain't got to fix everything to make significant improvements. If you start laser focusing in on one behavior and get really good at that, like pick one end of the hunger scale or whatever, you get really good at solving things. You get really good at aligning your thinking to solve something, to process something. Then it will just work in all the areas even so much better and so much faster. So this week you guys have the on the clock challenge, where you're actually working on the other end of the hunger scale, which is you're going to be waiting for true hunger. I think the on the clock challenge is one of the most powerful ones that we do. I think it's so valuable for all of you, and it brings up so much of your shit, which is the awesome thing. And that's what we want to be doing. We don't want to, like, if you judge yourself, let's say you break your plans and you judge yourself, you don't want to take away the trigger of judgment. You want to work on the judgment. Most of you, what you do is you quit planning. It's like, well, I feel really bad when I plan and I get so mad at myself and I do all these other things. So I should just quit planning, right? Or I get on the scale and I beat myself up. So I'm going to quit weighing. I'm just going to focus on these things. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? The problem isn't the scale, and the problem is not our planners. The problem is the conversation that's happening around all of it. The scale is just going to be a tool. It's just going to help you figure out how to have a better conversation with yourself. It's going to help you figure out your math of weight loss. It's going to, like, if you think about it that way, yeah, I'd probably get on that son of a bitch and I'd figure out how to develop a good relationship with yourself, rather than saying, well, I should, like, let me keep my shitty relationship with myself and start cutting out every single thing that could help me lose weight. Let me cut out the planning. Let me cut out the scale. What else can I cut out that doesn't trigger me to have a poor conversation with myself, rather than thinking, oh, maybe I should work on the relationship with myself and keep all these other things that are going to help me meet my goals. So you can do that stuff. All right, let's see what you guys have to say. Otherwise, I got to get out of here because Mama has a big day. I will be on a Zoom call with Brooke Castillo all day long today. And then I will be jumping off right at 5 o'clock. We have a meeting that goes all the way up to 5. And the second the 5 o'clock meeting ends, I will be coming to you guys. I think I'm on Zoom tonight, and we are going to be talking about the on the clock challenge and the things to learn and that kind of stuff. Let's see. Good morning. After recovering from the virus, I started eating too much. Now back to basics. I need to be at optimum wellness. No joke. All right, get after it, girl. Let's see. Little thing. Oh, wait, lifting again in week 5. Energy depleted. What do you do to keep your energy up? Try not to eat for it. Of course, rest, but anything else? A lot of water. When you're lifting again, you really have to stay on top of your water. Your water, a lack of water and sleep will be the first in, like when you're lifting weights, because your lifting weights requires you to sleep and it requires you to drink your water. Muscles need both of those two things, or you're not going to get any traction, and it will slow everything else down to try to get you to do that. So if you're going to be lifting, you have to prioritize sleep and water. The next thing that I would suggest is, if you're lifting weights again, look at the meal that you eat after you lift weights. So if you lift weights, what I don't care if the meal is 30 minutes or 3 hours later, like whatever the following meal, the immediate meal after you lift weights is, make sure that it's a good one. So you want that one to be one of the most nutritious meals that you eat of the day. So it needs to be, it needs to have your fat, it needs to have your protein, it needs to have your carbohydrates. It needs to be a really solid nutritional meal. Because when you lift weights, what happens is you're basically tearing your muscles down. And in the process of tearing them down, they are now going to super absorb whatever you put in. So if you put in like foods rich in vitamins, rich in protein, rich in carbohydrates and stuff, your energy levels won't deplete out as fast. The only other thing I recommend is coffee. I drink coffee first thing in the morning. And then when I'm lifting a lot of weights, like I've been lifting again heavy for about, I think I'm in my second or third week now, I believe. And maybe it's the third week. Oh my God, y'all have to look at my cat. Hang on. I'm going to turn it around. Look at Luau. Look at the way he's looking at me. This is what I'm seeing as I'm talking to you guys. His face is so serious. I'm there. He's like, tell me what I need to eat to lift weights, mama. Oh, cat's a mess. He's like my ride or die. He slept literally up my ass all night long last night. Every time I rolled over, and he doesn't get up. He's not like a cat that gets up if you roll over. He's like a cat that says, let me just reposition right in your ass. But one of the things about, like for me that I've noticed is I've been a little bit more fatigued. So I've just been making sure that those things are happening. And I've added like a second cup of coffee around 11 o'clock. And then that's been fine. I don't drink tons of coffee. I usually drink one or two cups first thing in the morning. But if I'm going to be drinking one at 11, most of the time what I'll do is I'll drink one in the morning when I first wake up, go work out and everything. And then I will drink one around 11 o'clock. So look, it's Spoonie.
They're catching you in the back screen.
And our messy ass kitchen. Our 17-year-old, I think he has decided. I just never thought that Logan would party like a rock star, but he lives in the kitchen like a rock star. Like you can just tell what he's ate because he loses interest, walks away, and doesn't do anything with it. I'm constantly like finding like the breadcrumbs of his eating life everywhere in the kitchen. It's hilarious. But that's what I would do. And then it takes about a month of lifting again before you kind of start getting back to your normal energy levels. So just try those things. Let's see what else you guys got. And then I do have to get out of here. And I will see you guys tonight anyway. Do you think you will be having camp in July? I do think we'll have camp in July. Nashville is actually, we are moving into phase one of reopening, I believe, this week. It's either this week or next week. I'm not really sure. There are several events. Now, some of the major events for June, oh, look at my hair. I look like Elvis. Some of the major events for June have canceled, but a lot of the events for July, we have an event team that we work with and stuff. A lot of events for July are on here. So I think we'll still have it. Worst case scenario though, guys, I will just tell all of you is if you register and we have to cancel, we have refunded everyone so far. So like we refunded the April campers. We refunded the, DSBers that were coming. We just moved everybody over to the virtual race. So you don't have to worry that we're going to we're going to refund people. I do lose money for every event we have to refund, but we are really good at making sure that for each event that we are not, I'm not even going to go into it, but we are just really good at making sure that we don't lay out, and spend a lot ahead of time. Like we plan a lot and we spend a lot of man hours and stuff. It takes us about a year to plan your events. We already have our 2021 schedule. We are negotiating contracts now. So, I mean, it takes a long time. Like anybody in here who's an event coordinator or who works in events and stuff can tell you, it ain't like we just come and have a kumbaya for 3 days. It is a process. I mean, there are vendors and there are people who contractors and like I would say between the hotel and between us and everything there's
you know, a small army is required to put on an event. And they are, they're big. We have, you know, film crews. And, you know, if everybody wants to be able to hear me, we got to have a sound crew. And we have to have all these things that happen. And, you know, photographers and all kinds of stuff for our events. You know, because everybody wants their picture and stuff like that. So there's a lot that goes into it. But we are on schedule for July. We have not had any, there's been no indicator that we will have to cancel July at this point. So, you know, you have to make your own decisions. Of course, if you are someone in with compromised immunity and stuff, I would encourage you not to sign up. But I just we just don't have any indicator that we're going to have to cancel at this point. So, like I've done for every other event, though, I am constantly talking to local officials. I am constantly talking to everybody and anybody. I have, you know, belabored every decision. I do not sit around and just be like, oh, just pie in the sky. Like, I look into all of it. I study it. We discuss it. We do all the things. So our goal is to have it so that we can have our first one for the year, our first big one. But like I said, worst case scenario is that it's on. October is for sure on. I mean, things would have to drastically change. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, I understand the world. And the way that I teach you, all of you guys, is there are circumstances and we will roll with them. And we will figure out how to think about it and we will come out better for it. You know, one of the things I was thinking about just yesterday, if you didn't go to the relationships workshop, the online one, we would have never had that had it not been for us canceling April Camp and DSB. That relationships workshop was because we wanted to be able to offer something to everybody to feel connected, because we knew that we were having to pull events, and that's why we had it. And I just always like to believe that no matter what, we get to focus on what we want to focus on. And I like to focus on, there has been so many amazing things that we've created for you guys. There's so many amazing connections that have been made since all this has happened, just in our group, not even including what else is happening, but just in our group. I feel like the people who are here are literally the people who truly want to be here, because they know that they need their mind work now more than ever. I think all of us have gotten a greater appreciation for, like, I have always tried to get you guys to buy into the idea of thought work, right? And just telling you that, you know, you could lose weight if you'll do thought work, for a lot of people was not compelling enough. Even when your dream, the one thing that you've been looking forward to or wanting for all of your life, it was not compelling enough to get started on that thought work, even if it was the answer. Since this has happened and people are like desperate to feel better, desperate to get control over their mind, desperate for all of it, it is like, okay, I want to try this thought work shit. Now I have a compelling reason. And I just think that this has been a you know, I'm always looking for the unintended byproducts of stuff. It's very easy to think about who all is suffering. It's very easy to think about how scary it is. And it's very easy to go to the fear part. You know what's not easy? To sit around and be grateful, to sit around and find silver linings, to sit around and figure out how this is working for me when everything in me wants to be in a pity party. If I wanted to sit around and think about how terrible this is, I could turn that on fast as anything. I have the urge to do it all the time. I'm constantly worrying and having to redirect my brain. You do not have to cancel events and change your business and do all that stuff and not worry. I'm just going to tell you, that is not how it all went down behind the scenes. Like, I have yelled at my husband and had to, like, relearn again how not to do that. Like, it has brought up all my thought work, and I'm grateful for it. I swear to God, I think Chris and I, I've always thought we've had a good relationship, and I think it's been better. Our family's relationship has been better, not because of COVID, but because I had to reexamine some of my old knee-jerk behaviors and thoughts around worry and panic and fear. Like, I had to dig in and do some work on myself. I had to make myself feel better. because feeling better was not going to come naturally. I wasn't going to sit around and just wait for the day to feel better. I could feel me going down a terrible road, and I refused to do it. And so I looked for everything that was causing me emotional pain, and it wasn't outside of me. I was looking for everything internally that was causing me emotional pain. And I decided which stuff to keep and which stuff I needed to work on. And I'm still working on it. But when I look at all of this and I see some of the things that, you know, that have been born out of it, it really gives me some peace because, one, it proves to me when I'm ready to look for what's right, it's always sitting there. I just have to look for it. And sometimes it's hard to find, and that's okay. I would rather it be hard to find and find it than to give up on it and to be someone who feels like they just give up. I don't want to be that person. It's not useful. It's not useful for me. It's not useful for you. And it's not useful for my family. But since all this has happened, I mean, Chris and I have probably had more, like I know for me, I have probably had more patience. Like I've noticed when little things are getting on my nerves and I'm like, because I at first was attributing it to the COVID stuff and I really was like, no, it can't be that. So it's got to be my worries and stuff. I started looking at my worries and I went to work on what are those things that I can solve? If I'm not going to rely on Chris to solve it, if I'm going to go first, what is that going to look like? And I have not missed a beat on my journaling. I have like invested in that. And it's so funny because I really was worried that I was going to drink more. Like we were supposed to even have date night last night and Chris got hung up working on something for you guys. And then next thing he knows, Logan had a coding problem he was stuck on. So like a daddy, he goes in there and he worked with Logan for a while. And by the time he came out here, mama had turned into a toad. Like I was Cinderella's pumpkin. And I'm like laid out after teaching for 2 days. And I said, why don't we just go watch 24? And so we just laid in bed and I rubbed Spoonie's chest and like patted on his head, made silly jokes, but we watched TV and we just had a nice quiet evening and we watched our 24 and I just couldn't even drink. I was just like, no. And I think what I have realized through all this is through doing so much of like I was, when it first all happened, one of the things that I really was like mourning was our bar because I was like, oh my gosh, we're not going to have date night. Like we always have date night. We're going to have to, like, I was making it more complicated than it needed to be. And I started really thinking, okay, if we're not going to be able to go to where we want to go and stuff, why, like, and I could have done this work at any time, which is what I always want to remind myself is I had to go back to why was I there in the first place? It was for connection. It was for us to be able to dream. It was for us to be able to like do the things we love. And I just started making sure that happened here. And I started making the connection that it can happen here. And I don't enjoy drinking at home. I never have. I just haven't. And we've drank less. I will say I've probably, I was telling y'all earlier, probably the part where I notice like a buffering like behavior comes in is it's the eating. It's like eating more than I need to at night. I'm not one to go and graze and snack and stuff, but I definitely notice my evening meal is I'm eating a little too much. And here's how I know. I'm not gaining any weight, but I don't feel amazing. Like I've noticed a disruption in the lower bottom half a little bit. I don't like that. I like to be very like, I just like things. I like my constitution to stay the same. And just not sleeping as good. It's just too much food, you know? So I'm really working on that and doing all that stuff, which is what I talked about in the first part of the video. All right, let me grab a couple more and then we'll get out of here. Let's see. Absolutely. It's the wellness and I'm sure got me through the virus so much faster. Silver lining for sure. Let me go in. Let's see. I'm trying to find where you guys were talking. I love Logan. I do too. Y'all are talking about him and his, his ways when it comes to the kitchen. Let's see. Had to leave halfway through on Saturday. Looking forward to scheduling a day to redo it. It was so good. Oh, I'm glad y'all really loved it. It was good. I loved it too. Okay, that's it. All right. Let me get out of here. I've got to go get ready for the day. I'm actually going to be spending the next hour working on y'all's self-sabotage course for next month. I am finishing up y'all's workbook today and tomorrow with all the worksheets. Guys, this is going to be off the hook. I am like so excited about this. And then we are, I'll be filming it later this week. So my plan today is get y'all another good solid hour of focus time put into your self-sabotage book. And then I've got to work out. Then I got to shower. And then it's Brooke Castillo up my ass for the day. That'll be fun as always. You know, if you like a good colonic, I'm going to be getting one today. And then I will talk to y'all tonight at 5 p.m. Central Time on Zoom, where I will be talking about the on-the-clock challenge, things that you'll probably start noticing, things to learn, things to watch out for, and then any questions you guys have, and we'll get out of there. All right. Bye, y'all.